This is LeSere Bradley, Jr., welcoming you to another broadcast of the Baptist Bible Hour. I'm glad that you're listening. Maybe you can tell some friends about the program that's heard at the same time each day on this station. And we'll appreciate it if you'll let us know that you are listening. You can go to our website at baptistbiblehour.org and respond there, or by way of letter, addressing your letter to the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. If you request it, we will send you a copy of our publication, The Baptist Witness. In these difficult times, it is indeed important that we approach life with a calm spirit, trusting in our God. So today, we hear the first part of a message entitled, Be Still, My Soul. It's not unusual these days to hear someone say, I'm deeply troubled. Troubled about the direction our nation is going. Troubled about the decline of the society in which we live. Troubled about the coldness that's often seen among many professed Christians. And sometimes it comes down to an issue of a more personal nature. Troubled, they will say, about loved ones that are being influenced by the world and going in the wrong direction. Or troubled about whatever particular affliction may at that time be touching their life. We need to remember the admonition of Scripture, such as is found in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. As we have often pointed out, there's great benefit to be derived from looking at the beautiful words of hymns and spiritual songs. Now, the Psalms themselves are given us by divine inspiration, and we know that we can count on them to be absolutely truth in every detail. Sometimes songwriters may stretch things a bit in an effort to be poetic, but when we find songs and hymns that convey a great truth, it's not only good to sing them in the public worship service, but to commit some of the words to memory and sing it to ourselves when we are traveling along the road of life as a source of encouragement and admonition. A beautiful hymn that coincides with the verse we've just read in Psalm 46 is entitled, Be Still, My Soul. This was written by a woman named Katharina von Schlegel. She lived in Germany, and she wrote the hymn in 1752. It was not translated into the English language until 1855, at which time it appeared in a hymnal entitled Hymns from the Land of Luther. The hymn was reportedly the favorite of Eric Liddell, the athlete who became famous in 1924 when he was scheduled to run in the Olympics but refused to run on the Sabbath. That story is told in the movie Chariots of Fire. Liddell later became a missionary to China and was imprisoned during the Second World War. He is said to have taught this hymn to others in the prison camp, where he eventually died of a brain tumor. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be light at last. Be still, my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who ruled them while he dwelt below. And then a verse that's not in our book. Be still, my soul, when dearest friends depart and all is darkened in the veil of tears. Then shalt thou better know his love, his heart, who comes to soothe thy sorrow and thy fears. Be still, my soul, thy Jesus can repay. From his own fullness all he takes away. Be still, my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever with the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Be still, my soul, when change and tears are past. All safe and blessed, we shall meet at last. Be still, my soul. As we think about the admonition in Psalm 46, to be still and to know that God is God, we can't help but consider why it is that at many seasons of life, our soul is not still. We're not at peace. We're restless. We're disturbed. We're filled with some degree of anxiety. We're given to worry. Now, many reasons obviously could be cited, but we'll think about just a few. One is we become restless. We are not still and waiting before the Lord when we are self-willed, when we have determined, I want my way. No matter what may be unfolding in divine providence, no matter how God may have been leading us or directing us, we become so determined, I want to have things my way, that we can have no real peace. We see a vivid example of that in the experience of the prophet Jonah. Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Now there's an extreme case. Here's a prophet of God who is disturbed because the people to whom he preached had repented, and God would mercifully spare them. He was so angry at the inhabitants of Nineveh because they were pagans and they were wicked people. He would rather have seen them burned up by the wrath of God than to have seen them repent. And so he's so distraught over it, he says, take my life. It's better that I should die than to live. What a terrible frame of mind. What a rebellious spirit. Prophet is saying, I wanted it to go my way, and if I can't have it my way, I don't even care to live. That's blatant rebellion. Verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. He says that the second time. Oh, let us be careful not to become so intent on fulfilling our plans, reaching our dreams, pursuing our ambitions, that if it doesn't work out, we're disturbed, if not angry, then we react the other way and become depressed and disheartened and say, what's the use about anything? If I can't have it my way, then I give up. My plans are not working out, so I quit. Be still, my soul. We can't be calm and still in our soul when we are so determined. It must be my plan and nothing else. Furthermore, we have a restless spirit. We're not still. We're not calm. We're not trusting God when we become focused on our troubles, whatever they may be. It could be that some of the troubles that we encounter are self-made. We're suffering the consequences of our own actions. But it's trouble nevertheless. It could be that it's some action by a person who has harmed us, spoken against us, deceived us, in some way opposed us. And we're focusing on that till we can hardly think of anything else. It may be that the thought is constantly there, I know the Bible says vengeance belongs to God, and I just wonder, when is God going to do something? And the person becomes obsessed with that thought. So in whatever form you become preoccupied with looking at the troubles of life, reviewing the troubles, evaluating the troubles, meditating on the troubles, analyzing the troubles, your soul is not going to be at rest. It's not going to be still because you're looking at the wrong thing. We find in the Gospel of Mark the lesson when Jesus was on the ship with his disciples. In the 36th verse, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Now you can imagine that if the ship is full of water, the natural reaction to that is going to be some anxiety and concern. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, Jesus was on board this ship. And don't you know, they were perfectly safe with Jesus on board. But when they looked at the water coming into the ship, and they looked at the angry waves, and they felt the strong wind blowing, they were fearful. And when they go to awaken the master, they ask the question, Carest thou not that we perish? Have you ever asked that question? Have you been in such deep troubles at times that you thought the Lord has forgotten about me? You thought God doesn't even observe my deep trouble at the moment. is the Lord? If I'm the object of his love, why doesn't he hear me? Why doesn't he grant my requests? Why doesn't he calm the storm? Now, when Jesus was awakened, he just spoke three words: peace, be still. The wind ceased to blow, and the waves ceased to toss the little ship about. They were amazed. What kind of a man is this, that the wind and the sea obey him? Now, in our own life, as we have been tossed about in the days of storm and trouble, the Lord is able and sometimes does speak that word, peace, be still. And suddenly the storm is over. It looked like it was a storm that would rage on and on, but suddenly it's over because the Lord intervened by his divine providence, by the word of his power. At other times, he doesn't cause the storm to cease, but he still gives us peace inside. Because now, instead of being focused on the trouble and on the storm, we're focused on him. At other times, we fail to be at peace in our own soul because there are things we don't understand. Now, there'll always be things we don't understand, and God is not obligated to fill us in on all the details and let us understand the whys and wherefores of what he's doing. But this lack of understanding may, on certain occasions, be a failure to understand the full scope of what his word teaches. We haven't made the right application in our life. We may have heard some false teacher make presentations and promises that sounded good, and we were influenced by it, and we're expecting something that God himself hasn't promised. So we're in a state of confusion. We see that in the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verse 34. They came saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." What good news is this? The Savior who had been crucified, the Savior who had died on the cross, is risen. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." It's wonderful to think of Jesus speaking the word peace, is it not? He spoke that when they were on the troubled sea. He speaks that when he appears following his resurrection. But they were terrified and affrighted. Now, was there any reason to be terrified? Obviously not. The Savior that they loved, the Savior over whom they had grieved when they saw him crucified and treated so cruelly, is now alive and is standing in their midst. He's not there to harm them, but they are terrified and affrighted and suppose that they'd seen a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." See, they were afraid because they didn't understand. They were greatly troubled because they did not at that moment comprehend that the one in their midst was the risen Savior that loved them. So when they got their eyes open, when they're able to put together the prophetic references concerning Jesus and see that indeed this one that we had believed to be the Messiah and the Savior is the risen Lord, and he's victorious over sin, over Satan, and over death. And then there's another area that causes us to be restless on the inside so that we're not able to be at peace. We're troubled, we're perplexed, but it really comes down to that problem, that sinful problem that we have to talk about repeatedly. Pride. is at the heart and root of so many other sins. Psalm 131, verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great manners or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even as a weaned child. Now, if you look at that in reverse, he's saying that when I was behaving like a baby that depends upon nursing his mother, I was not at peace. You see, a little child that has not been weaned, and if that child gets near his mother, you know how they don't have any patience. They don't get what they want quickly. They're going to be creating a fuss. They know what they want. They want it now. But he says, I've quieted myself because now I'm as a weaned child. I've learned some things. But you see, before that weaning takes place, there's pride. Now he says, because of this progress, my heart is not haughty. I'm not exalted. I'm not looking down on other people. See, often one evidence of pride is that the person is constantly looking for the faults in others so they can feel better about themselves. They want to exalt self. But he says, my heart is not haughty, my eyes are not lofty, and neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. There's nothing wrong with having legitimate godly goals. But if we set our sights on something that is too high and unrealistic, we're going to be constantly frustrated. We're not going to have peace. We're not going to be able to say, my soul is at rest. I'm committing myself to the things of God. Comes right back to the issue of self-will and determination rather than bowing in humble humility before God.
Restore.
The reason we can have calmness of soul when there may be much fear and anxiety around us because of the uncertainties that we're facing in these difficult days is because we're trusting in the living God, the sovereign God, who rules and reigns according to His pleasure. What a comfort to know that He is in absolute control. I hope that you will write us. This is Lasser Bradley, Jr., bidding you goodbye until we greet you next. May God bless you.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my side. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect salvation, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior, praising my Savior, praising my Savior.